welcome to the Neighborhood Church Misawa Sermon Podcast. NCM is a multicultural church serving the English-speaking community in Misawa. For more information or to contact us, visit us online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.
I'm thankful for the summer and the opportunity it gives us to focus in on how the Holy Spirit longs to move in our lives. I love Acts. I mean, I say that about every single book. I know. I say that every time I get up here. I love this book of the Bible, but it's true. I love them all, which is good because it's the Bible. But I love the book of Acts. I love watching how the Holy Spirit moves. I love watching how the early church that came from nothing, and how through the power of the Holy Spirit, we see them stand up in boldness, and we see them begin to teach and to serve, and we see healings, and we see how God begins to bring together the body of Christ so that it can accomplish everything that it set out to do. And so I love reading the stories. But even more, I love reading Acts because it gives us this template or this pattern of not only how the Holy Spirit worked then, but how the Holy Spirit longs to work today. I mean, Scripture says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the same God, the same Holy Spirit of Acts is the same Holy Spirit today. He's the same God today. And so if He was able to move in that time, He's able to move in our time. If He's able to give us and empower us to the boldness, if He was able to do it then, He can do it today. If He was able to empower the early church to disciple, He's able to empower us to disciple today. And today we're going to be talking about how the Holy Spirit empowers us to heal. In Acts chapter 2, verse 43, Luke is the author of Acts. Luke was a physician who became a believer and followed after Paul, came alongside and served alongside with him. And so Luke, I love the descriptions that he gets. And if you read into it knowing that he was a physician, you'll begin to see that he gives these details, a little extra details than probably somebody in the medical field or only someone in the medical field would give. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 43, Luke says, "Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles." And so he kind of sets the stage. The believers, the early church, those 120 gathered, have been baptized on what we know as the day of Pentecost. And from there, on that day, Peter boldly stands up and declares the gospel. On that day, 3,000 people get saved. And out of that, God begins to empower, through the Holy Spirit, the early church to disciple all of these new believers. And Luke says, and out of that, everyone was in awe because the Holy Spirit continued to bring healings and God performed signs and wonders. And then Luke takes it down and he gives us a detailed example. He said, listen, God was doing miracles. Here, let me give you an example of how God was doing miracles during that time. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 to see how the Holy Spirit empowered the early church to heal. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, "One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Father, we thank you for your word that speaks to us today. It's the same truth that was spoken 2,000 years ago, same Holy Spirit that longs to move. I pray, God, that you would open up our eyes, open up our minds to receive and be challenged in this, so that we can be obedient and walk in the empowerment that you give us to heal. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. What an amazing story. As I read these stories of God's healing, what an amazing story this is. Can you imagine for a moment what it must have been like to be there that day? You know, Peter and John were just doing their average day business, right? They were just going in and going at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, going to the temple to pray. It wasn't like they were on a mission. Let's go see if we can find somebody to heal. They were just doing their everyday thing. They were going to pray. And as they go up to this temple, they see this man who scripture says that he had spent his entire life from birth. He was lame. He wasn't able to walk. An entire life he had lived being lame. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 22, it tells us how old this man is. He was over 40 years. So over 40 years, this man had never walked. He had never jumped. He had never gotten anywhere on his own. Probably close to 40 years, he had sat there begging every single day. Someone would bring him to the Gate Beautiful where the other ones, where there was a lot of high traffic going in and out to the temple. And so they would bring these people who were disabled and crippled and unable to walk. They would bring them there because they couldn't work. So their only means of provision was sitting there and begging for those going in to pray, hoping that they would give them something. And so we look at this story and the history behind it. You know, you think about if this man had sat there for probably close to 40 years, right? This isn't that long since Jesus had been on the earth, right? It hadn't been that long since Jesus was in ministry himself. Quite possibly, Jesus walked by this man. Quite possibly, Jesus walked by this guy as he begged, as he sat there unable to walk, unable to move. And so we look at it and we can kind of think, well, why in the world did Jesus not heal him? Jesus totally could have healed him. Why did he not stop and heal this man like he did all the others? Why did he save this healing for this time? And quite frankly, when it comes to healing, as I'm sure probably all of us are, there's just things we don't understand. I don't understand how healing always works. I don't understand how, and scripture doesn't give us detailed into God's mind, other than he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. But we can look at that and we go, I just don't get it. Why is it that God didn't heal him before? Why didn't Jesus touch him? Why didn't Jesus say one word to him and cause this man to rise? And we don't know. Maybe it was so that on this day, God could receive glory. Maybe because it was on this day, people would come to know Jesus. We don't know. But anyway, regardless of it, because we could look at this and go, I just don't understand God's healing. But no matter what we look into, no matter what we think about this, we can proclaim, and I can confidently say, even if I don't understand at all, that God is a healer. I can confidently declare that to you, not only because scripture says it, but because I've experienced his healing myself. I've seen it myself. I can tell you stories from when my parents told me when I was a toddler, and one time I had almost 106 degree fever, and they couldn't get rid of it, and they couldn't get it down, and the doctors couldn't do anything, and it was kind of like, well, we don't know what else to do. And so my parents said that they called the pastor, and the pastor came and they anointed me and they prayed over me. And my mom said instantaneously, the fever went away and I was back to being myself, which Joe's a lot like me. So at a toddler age, just gives you an idea, I am reaping the blessings of my mom. But instantaneously, the Lord healed me. I can tell you a story of when I was in college and I had shoes on that I probably shouldn't be wearing. I was running and my foot rolled and I heard my bone snap in my foot. And the next day I was supposed to go on a missions trip. And I knew because it was going to be into a place that was not going to be luxurious, I knew that it was not going to be a good setting for me to go in with crutches and all kinds of stuff. It was not going to work. So I remember that night laying down, so much pain. I couldn't put my pressure on my foot. I knew it was broken. There was no doubt in my mind. And I remember laying down and praying and saying, God, you've called me to go. You've provided for me to go. I have my ticket. I have everything. I'm going tomorrow. I need you to heal my foot. And guys, the next morning I woke up and it was completely restored. The Lord had healed my foot and I knew it was the healing of the Lord. I can tell you stories of Wilman who had rheumatic fever and his heart was impacted. And every month he would have to go get a penicillin shot to make sure that he didn't further infection until one day the Lord stepped in and brought healing to his life. And he has not once had to go back and have a penicillin shot. He's not once had to go and have any kind of repercussions for it. The Lord has renewed and restored his body. I can tell you story after story after story. Someone I know whose mom had cancer all in her organs. organs and into her female organs completely, I mean, just completely covered. They went in to do surgery, to do a hysterectomy and remove it. And the doctor said, I went in there and I saw a woman who was still a virgin. Now she's in her 70s. I went in there, she has 3 kids. She said, I went in there to do the surgery and remove her uterus, to remove all of that for a full hysterectomy, and everything was renewed like she had never been married, had never had children at all. That is the healing of the Lord. So while I do not understand how he works all the time, because we still have people that pass, we still know people that are sick, we still know people that the Lord doesn't always heal, at one point our bodies will wear out and we will die. And so we don't understand all the time how he works and how he heals and what he's doing, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is a healer. God is a healer, not only in the days of Acts, because we read it, but he still heals today, guys. He still heals today. And so 40 years, this man was not able to walk. 40 years, this man begged for his provision. 40 years, he never thought that anything would ever change until the Holy Spirit stepped in and interrupted his life that day. This guy had no clue what was coming his way. He simply said, give me some money. And praise God that these 2 disciples, these 2 apostles were willing to slow down enough to see them and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at this, we can learn from it how the Holy Spirit longs to empower you and I to bring healing to those around us, how he longs to work. And that first thing that we can learn is that the early church, as I just said, the early church was willing. The early church was willing. As I said, Peter and John were just on their business. They were going to the temple to pray. It was 3:00 in the afternoon. That's what they did. That was on their schedule. And they were going about asking the Father to pray to him and seek to him. But they could have gone and had their blinders on, right? Have somewhere to be. I mean, I'm task-oriented, so I understand. There's times that we can have our blinders on so much that we don't see what the Lord's wanting to do. But on that day, Peter and John were willing. The early church was willing. And because of that, the Holy Spirit spoke to them, and they were able to see this man who desperately needed healing and how God wanted to move that day. The early church was willing to hear this man's cry. Guys, we can't be so busy that we miss the opportunities to pray for people in their sickness. Well, there's times where we could, you know, somebody is telling us something and we want to have all the details, and then we want to give them maybe solutions, or have you tried this, or have you tried this, or have you done that, or maybe it's just and I'm not making fun of it because we've all done it, right? Or maybe it's the pad response, yes, I'm going to pray for you. But what if we stopped in our tracks and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we stopped and we prayed for people? What opportunity does that allow the Holy Spirit to move through us? What opportunity does it give for possibly someone to receive healing? And so the early church was a willing church. They were willing to stop and be used by the Holy Spirit and pray for the sick as they needed it. The early church was willing. And what if we were willing? But see, the early church wasn't just willing, but they actually prayed for God to empower them to heal. They didn't just say, oh, God, would you heal? But they prayed and they said, God, would you equip us that when we pray for people, they would be healed? Would you do that in us? And we see that in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. It says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So after this paralytic man, after this lame man who hadn't walked in his entire life, over 40 years, was healed, suddenly there was a little commotion going on, right? People were amazed and awed, and people got saved that day. But also we see how the early church, not the early church, but the Sanhedrin, Jewish officials then called Peter and John in, and they brought him in and they interrogated him. They threatened him. They arrested him. And then they were eventually released. And Peter and John go back to these believers and they tell them everything that was told. They were threatened to be quiet. You keep it to yourself. Don't do any more. Scripture doesn't tell us exactly how they were threatened. But as we see how the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin worked, we can only imagine that's probably what they said. Don't talk anymore. Don't heal anybody else. You keep this to yourself. Peter and John went back to them, and instead of shrinking back, instead of backing away, what did the early church pray? They said, God, you see their threats. Now equip us with all the more boldness. Equip us not with the boldness, but God, would you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, as we pray for people, would you do more miracles like that? Regardless of what the outcome's going to be, God, would you do more miracles? What if we took on that heart and said, God, not for my sake, not for my name, not for my glory, but so you can be known, so people would come to know you. God, when I pray for people, God, may we see healings. God, when I pray for people, may they be healed for your glory, for your name. May I not only hear your voice speaking to me, may I be sensitive, but may I be willing. And God, would you empower me? What if we did that? What if we took that same heart at work? I know. But Pastor, you don't know. I don't know. What if? What if we just gave God opportunities? But Pastor, you don't know. You don't work. I know. I don't. I know what I'm asking you to do. I know what Scripture is calling you to do. So I don't say it lightly. What if we did that at work? What if we did that at school? I understand that you will be an outcast. I understand you will be looked at as the weirdo probably at school. You're the different one. Oh, you're going to pray for me? Whatever, right? What if we allowed that? Because what can happen when we simply say, just like that video, I will. I'm going to be willing. God, I'm going to pray. God, I'm going to pray for others. I'm going to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God, I will do whatever you call me to do. What if through that, there are people like this paralytic man who have been trapped in bondage or sick and have no other hope? And because we just said, I will, allowed God the opportunity to make himself known. What if, guys, what if we do that? Because God longs to move through us. God longs to move in people. He calls us to boldly proclaim the truth and allow the Holy Spirit to empower us to serve him and bring others to him. If you notice throughout Acts, each time someone was healed, there were salvations that followed right after it. A lot of times these salvations were from unbelief. I mean, they weren't from the church. The healings weren't from within the church a lot of times. There were times that it was, but a lot of times these healings came from outside of the church, and out of that salvations flooded in because God displayed his power and his glory and he made himself known. And so on that day, scripture says that 2,000 people came to know Jesus simply because these two guys were willing to stop in their tracks, were willing to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, were willing to pray, were willing to step out in faith, were willing to do that, all because these two guys chose to allow the Holy Spirit to empower them. 2,000 people got saved that day. Not only that guy that got healed, but 2,000 people came to know Jesus. And what if we took time to pray for people who don't know Jesus? I know we're quick to pray, and it's good because God calls us. If anyone's sick, right? That's what James said. If anyone's sick, let them call on the elders of the church and the prayer and faith. Let them anoint them in the prayer of faith. They will be healed. And so we know that to be true. The church is a place amongst the body of Christ. We pray for each other. But we also see people stepping out and praying for the lost. What if you sat with someone who is not a believer and you prayed for healing in their lives? What opportunity do we give to the Holy Spirit, to God, to bring not only healing physically, but healing through salvation? There's a story, Jeff Hartensveld, he's our regional director in the Asia Pacific. So everything's grouped together in regions. And he's our leader for the Asia Pacific region. And he was, while he and his wife now live in Springfield, they were missionaries for years in Indonesia. And so he wrote kind of, there's a devotional that he wrote that's going to be coming out next month. And it kind of has, it's the foundation of what the Holy Spirit used in my heart to cue up this series. But he tells a story of when he and his wife were pastoring in Indonesia. And one Easter Sunday, as he was preaching, he realized that one of their believers, one of the church members, had brought their unbelieving husband that Sunday. He had never attended church before, but on that Sunday he was there. And as he did the salvation call, he thought that he saw the unbelieving husband raise his hand. And so he didn't get to talk to him after church. So he called him later that week and he said, "You know, I saw you this Sunday and it looked like you raised your hand. Were you wanting salvation?" The guy's like, "No, I was just scratching my head. I don't want anything to do with this. I only endure it for my wife and my family's sake, but I don't want anything to do with Jesus." And so Jeff said that he just continued to pray. He was like, "Okay, well, that's kind of awkward, but all right." And so he just continued to pray, right? Continued to pray for him. The wife did as well. And several weeks later, the wife called and said that her husband had just received a diagnosis for stage 4 lung cancer. And stage 4, it was not good. It was not good at all. And so Jeff called him and said, "Hey, you know, listen, you're sick. Are you sure you don't want to come to Jesus?" You know, began to share the gospel with him. And the guy's like, "No, I don't want anything to do with Jesus." And so a couple more weeks passed and Jeff called him back. And he said that through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, he had been sensitive. He had been praying for this guy, right? It wasn't just haphazard. It wasn't just, "Oh, this will be a good gimmick to get him to come to church, a salvation." He was empowered by the Holy Spirit and sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the voice of God. And so when Jeff called him, he said, "Listen, Jesus promises you, and he's spoken this to me, if you will receive salvation, God will heal you." And he said that the guy was kind of like, "Oh, I don't really want to, but okay, I want healing." And so he ends up getting saved. And Jeff said that it wasn't an instantaneous process, but a couple of months down the line, he said it was a grapefruit-sized tumor that he had that completely dissipated. And this man not only received healing, but he got saved and the entire family. He said to this day, this has been years ago, to this day, this man is still serving Jesus. This man is still healed. The cancer never came back. And out of that, he has begun to proclaim the good news of Jesus and the healing power of God. And so what if in these opportunities with people who don't know Jesus, what if we were filled with the Holy Spirit? What if we were seeking after the Father and seeking after opportunities and praying for God to give us opportunities to pray for the lost and pray for those who are sick? And what if we responded in that same empowerment and that same sensitivity and we began to pray for people that are sick? What if we allowed God to move instead of having these little neat boxes? What if, guys, what if? Because we see that he's able to do that. We see that he didn't just do it once, but over and over and over again as people were empowered by the Holy Spirit, were sensitive to God and moved in. What if we stepped out in boldness? And guys, I totally get it. I sense the tension in this, like, "Oh, but what if we pray and they aren't healed? What if I pray for that person and they don't get healed? What if they," right? There's all these what ifs, that tension of, "Oh, I want to pray, but then, you know, what if they don't?" But here's what I just want to remind you is that when Peter and John stopped, they were sensitive to the Holy Spirit. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. But Peter did not look at the man and say, "By my power, my authority, you get up and walk." No, that's not what he said. I'll remind you in verse 6 of chapter 3, it says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk.'" See, it took faith on Peter's part. It took a devotion and a willingness on Peter's part, but everything else had nothing to do with Peter. The healing wasn't dependent on Peter. Once Peter stood up and in faithfulness and willingly said, "I will," Nothing about the healing had to do with Peter, other than him creating an opportunity for Jesus to move. And so if you look at just how the authority of Jesus, we could read over this in the name of Jesus. We say it all in the name of Jesus, right? But when you look at the Jewish culture, it wasn't just in the name of Jesus. It wasn't just saying a name. In the Jewish culture, saying the name of Jesus or saying anyone's name meant that you took on, you took the authority and the personhood of that person and you took it on yourself. And so for me, I understand this really well. I'm going to show you what I have, because here in Japan, there's something kind of similar. We have what's called an inkan or a hanko, and it is something that we have to have and Japanese citizens have, but because we're residents of Japan, it's this little bitty stamp, right? And on the end of the stamp is our last name. And it's registered with the government, it's registered at the city, but this hanko or this inkan represents who I am. So I use it at the bank, I use it when I'm signing a contract, I use it any kind of government official business, I have to use this stamp. I don't sign my name, I use this stamp. My signature is worthless here in Japan. This stamp means everything for who I am. So I could give this to Kelsey. Hold on, this is my life. I could give this to Kelsey and I could say, would you take this to the bank and you're going to represent me? And because you carry this stamp, this little bitty stamp, because you carry this stamp, you now have all the authority and power of my name and who I am. And so, I mean, of course, I would never want her to step out on her own and just do whatever. I'm the honko, let's go party, right? And we don't want to do the same thing with Jesus, like in Jesus' name, I'm just going to do whatever, right? But because he gives us the authority according to his word to do the things he's called us to do, we take on that authority like this honko and giving it to someone else, they take on my authority and my name and my personhood. And so when we step in and we pray for someone and in the authority of Jesus' name, it's not based on us. When I pray for someone, it's not based on what I say, flowery words, how I feel, what I do, how my day went. No, but because I have spent time with the Father, because I desire to allow the Holy Spirit to move through me, and because I walk in the authority of Jesus and I proclaim his name, that healing has everything to do with him and not on us. And so it takes that responsibility. And we can just say, yes, Lord, you want me to pray for this person. You've created this opportunity. I'm going to pray for them. It has nothing to do with me. Except for me just being obedient, I will pray, and God, it's up to you to move. It's up to you to transform. It's up to you to bring healing. The healings were never dependent upon the people who prayed. They were simply being obedient. The healings have always been dependent upon the Father. Don't ever take that pressure on yourself. Well, what if I pray and they don't? Well, you'll never know, right? You'll never know unless we step out and we pray and we ask God to move. And then not take that on yourself. This came, you know, when they stepped out and they prayed through the power of the Holy Spirit, given it to them by Jesus, because of that, they saw healings. They saw this man get up and walk, but no glory. If you look at it, no glory was brought to Peter. No glory was brought to John. It wasn't like, oh, I'm the champion. Look at me. I healed them. Ta-da, right? No, it wasn't like that. In fact, they were imprisoned because of it. They willingly gave themselves to walk the line and be imprisoned, to be interrogated, to be threatened, knowing and then praying for more of it. Guys, that's what the power of the Holy Spirit can do in us when we just say, yes, God. God, I'm hungry. God, I want to seek after you. I want more of you. I want to be empowered by your Holy Spirit. I want to be able to pray for people and for your glory, people be healed. For your glory, salvation come. For your glory, people come to know you. That's what happens when we simply say, God, I'm willing. God, I'm willing. And I wholeheartedly believe, because scripture says so, that he still desires to do like Acts chapter 3 today. I wholeheartedly believe that because he doesn't change. And it may not look the same. It's not going to look the same because we don't dress the same. We don't act the same. We don't go to the temple at 3 p.m. You're welcome to come here at 3 p.m., but no one's going to be here. And so we don't do all the same things, but the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is the same. And so he desires to not only move in you, but he desires to move through you That's the heart of Acts. That's the heart of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's the heart of what Jesus is communicating, what the Father is communicating through the Word of God that is inspired through the Holy Spirit. So what if, I know a lot of what ifs this morning, but what if we committed ourselves to seeking after the Father? What if we committed ourselves and saying, God, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit like the early church. I want to be so filled with your Holy Spirit that I'll speak in boldness, that I'll disciple, that I'll be a good disciple myself, that I can pray for people in a confidence in you, not me, in a confidence in you, and know that people will receive healing, that I'll see salvations. What if? What is it that God wants to do in and through you as we allow the Holy Spirit to move in us?
Thank you for listening to the Neighborhood Misawa Sermon Podcast. If you need prayer, email us at neighborhoodmisawa@gmail.com or online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.